This is Welcome to Babylon. My name is Jeremy Kendall and I'm your host. In this podcast, I discuss with various guests news and current events through the lens of Scripture. The Bible often makes reference to this world as Babylon. And even though we are to live in Babylon, we are called to be different, to be holy as He is holy. So let's take a look together at God's holy word, our instruction for life. Welcome to Babylon. Well, welcome again to Welcome to Babylon. My name's Jeremy, and I have two very special guests here, dear friends of mine, Nathan Young and Dushan Okesene. These two friends of mine go to our church, Shaw Baptist, together, and today we're going to speak a little bit about doctrine, the importance of doctrine, and how it should have an effect on our life. But before we get to the important details, I want to do a little bit of an introduction to both of these gentlemen. The three of us are sitting here in singlets and real short stubbies because it is just so hot in this Auckland weather. The aircon is not working properly. The windows are wide open and it probably stinks, forgive me. But it's an awesome atmosphere to talk about theology because it's going to get heated.
Yeah.
So let me just start with Nathan. Nathan, you are kind of reasonably new to our church. You've been here a year or so, is that right?
Yeah, a little bit over a year, yeah.
Cool. And we have something in common. We both married Americans, which is great because we've been trying to get our green card for a while.
Yeah. It's advantageous if you want to study in America to have an American wife.
Who knows? So. This is a joke. Yeah. Please, America, don't reject our dear friend Nathan. And Nathan is actually, you're going to America in April, am I right?
That's right, yeah, in a few months, yeah, to study and be close to my wife's family, which will be really nice.
That'll be special, yeah. Mm. Fabulous. And of course, we're all also relying on COVID-19 to behave itself in that time to get you there, so we need to be praying for that.
Yeah, we hope there's a plane for us to fly on.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's a bit of a swim.
It is. Yeah. And what do you do for a living, Nathan?
I'm a landscape architect, but I'm looking to, I've resigned recently and looking to study full-time, hopefully, in the United States, and then, you know, Lord willing, be a pastor or a teacher.
Fabulous. And you are already studying at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so I've done a few papers there, and it's been really, really awesome to just think about theology and doctrine and learn more of God.
That's great, man. Mm. And hopefully you'll bring that back to New Zealand.
That's definitely a possibility.
Yeah, if you don't get too convinced by Chick-fil-A and...
Yeah, it's a draw card.
It is, yeah. I feel you. It's not why I married into that family. I'm going to sleep on the couch tonight. Dushan.
Hey, brother.
You have a lovely wife, Rosalind, but you've also had another blessing this year. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we were blessed.
Well, last year, actually.
Yeah, last year, 2020. We were blessed to have a baby boy. His name is Luca. Oh. And, yeah, he's, I don't know, I love him. He's just so cool, and babies are amazing. And it's by God's grace that I can actually say that because, yeah, a long time ago I never would have thought I would even be married or have children, but by God's grace, here I am. So praise the Lord.
We learn how much sanctification
very
we need
quickly
when we have a wife. Yeah, those late nights.
Oh, yeah, those 4 a.m. morning calls, yeah, they're great.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, wake up every hour.
My boy's really good. he sleeps through the night, 7 to 7 usually.
Oh, blessings.
And we just don't feel like jealousy. We can tell parents because they...
Oh, yeah.
They want to stab us.
Yeah, yeah.
When they find out that...
I'm pretty bothered by that at the moment, but we'll get past that.
You love me anyway. but, yeah. So, what do you do for a living, brother?
So, I work in the pharmaceutical industry. I'm warehousing and exports, and I've been there for, nearly 3 years.
So, you're a legal... drug.
I'm a legal drug dealer.
Illegal or legal?
Legal. Yeah, legal most times. If I find something out the back, no, I'm just kidding. No. Not at all. No.
My brother is a bumper. Well, this guy, he's good. Yeah. He's good.
Nothing falls off the back of my trucks.
That's good. No, we have come today to talk about doctrine, and it's really important, I think, especially one of the big reasons I wanted to bring it to the table today was because I have so many family and friends who... have different doctrinal statements to me, and some that just don't have them at all. it's so foundational to us as particularly Reformed Baptists as we are, and I really want to encourage people through this podcast to latch on to a doctrinal statement that it might secure them in their faith and ground them and guide them through their life. Mm. So this podcast is to be encouraging. We may disagree with some other doctrinal statements out there, but we want to encourage you to pursue the truth found in Scripture. And as you find the truth, ground it and label it in the form of a doctrine so that you can hold fast to the Word of God. Because we're not about doctrine itself being our guidance, but that doctrine points ultimately to Scripture, doesn't it?
Amen.
So we're just going to discuss a handful of things, and then at the end I want to talk about resources, some of the things that people can use, lead their churches, if there's a pastor listening, those of you who are fathers, mothers, how you can catechize and lead your children in this way. Mm. I want to start off with this one question, though, to you both. What is the purpose of doctrine?
I think the simple answer is to distill the Word of God into statements that we can comprehend, because God is complex and he's just so immense. You know, we're fickle little men with small little minds, and God is just so much bigger than us.
That's right.
His ways are so much higher than ours, and doctrines and little statements just distill the Word of God into bite-sized pieces that we can understand and use to live by.
It's a shot. Yeah, you're right. It's a shot at trying to put this immense, immeasurable God and his thoughts and his feelings on particular subjects and his will, I suppose, into almost like a flashcard, so that you can, you know, pull it out when you're in the elevator and you can deliver that 3-minute pitch of this is what the doctrine of X, Y, and Z is. Which is, when you think about it, taking all of that information and squashing it into like a 4-word sentence is actually quite complex, even though doctrine in its name can just be so like, hey, do you know doctrine of such and such, or do you know, and you know, it's quick and easy, but it can be, you know, so far unpacked, which is
And it's also really good for new believers and children, because as you were saying, Nathan, it's such a great thing to get your head around the doctrine of the triune God. You know, we're pulling on scriptures throughout the whole Old and New Testament, and for someone who's new to this or a child, that's quite a complex journey. And so that's why we have catechisms and the questions of.
Yeah, because sometimes the statements can be really simple, few words, but then you unpack that and it's, you know, just the Trinity is such a massive study.
Very deep,
and,
yeah. That's right.
It's a sermon series all of a sudden.
Well, doctrine ultimately needs to be in place so that it can hold us together. We're not always going to agree on everything, are we? In fact, I'm doing a sermon this Sunday on 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we see Paul hearing about the divisions in the church, some people saying they follow Apollos, some Cephas, which is Peter, Paul, and some Christ, and you know, the division comes through various teachings. People are getting confused. We have a Greek Gentile church that aren't richly brought up in the Old Testament narrative, and so they're trying to work out what it is, in fact, that they believe, and so Paul starts to list that off. In fact, I understand that when he comes back to Corinth, that's where he writes the epistle to the Romans, which is a deeply rich doctrinal letter. In fact, perhaps the greatest gospel tract one could ever get their hands on. And so this is done to hold everyone together, to unify the church. That doesn't mean we compromise on theological truth, but it's there to make us one in Christ. We're not a divided people. So what happens when we don't have a doctrinal statement?
Yeah, it can be chaotic. I know I've been to churches where there is no statement, so you'll have some people on one side of the pew believing one thing about Christ or about salvation, and others believing other things. And so you'll have a preacher one day that preaches on something that might be Calvinistic, and God in its election chooses us, and then the next week you have someone saying that you can choose God as a human, which we would all agree you can't do. You can't choose God. He chooses us. And so it can be a little bit chaotic. And you mentioned earlier, you know, we're talking about Pentecostal churches, and they might inflate a doctrine or not understand a doctrine like the Holy Spirit, and they put glowing balls on their roof and they celebrate things and they run confetti and they think that's the glory of God, and it's actually blasphemous. It's wrong and it's sinful.
And if you don't end up having a, you know, a stance on particular doctrine, I think all of a sudden anything goes. So there's nothing really wrong in believing in whatever you feel like believing in, because yeah, it's just open slather. You say something and that's what you that's what you want to pertain to, or that's what you want to believe. Well, you go for it, because there's no line in the sand, I guess, to kind of say, yep, that's something that isn't actually biblical, or yeah, that is biblical, and we should hold to that, and we should glorify God in doing that. And I guess, yeah, that's one of the issues of not having a doctrinal faith, or not a biblical faith, but the Bible. We use the Bible to, you know, draw out our doctrine, not the other way around.
Yeah, it's all from God, isn't it?
Amen.
It's the Word of God, and we use doctrines to sort of distill and understand it, but it's not coming from man. It's from Him.
Mm. That's right. Mm. That's what I love about our doctrine, the 1689 London Baptist Confession. If you look under every single doctrine, there's just a stack of like Bible verses and references that point back to what the truth is really founded upon. I want to ask a question, and I actually haven't briefed you guys on this question.
Oh, here's
the trick. Yeah, I just want to throw it out there. Because we've kind of merged a couple of the questions that are in my list, but I want to ask, what's the importance of doctrine? But I want to ask that specifically through the lens of the officers of the church. What do you think happens when we don't have a doctrinal statement? How important is it to an eldership to lead through a doctrinal statement, and a diaconate as well?
I think it kind of runs along similar to what we were discussing before. If you're, you know, if the head of your church or your elders are kind of just on this biblical limbo, saying, well, we don't really hold to X, Y, and Z, or we don't really want to lean into this particular text, I think you get people sitting in a building that aren't learning the true Word of God. And I think the difficulty there is that, I guess in essence, there's a chance that the gospel isn't being preached. And that's dangerous. It's extremely dangerous, because without the gospel, people will rightly have justice thrust upon them on the day of judgment. And if they didn't know that the gospel or the good news was, you know, repent and believe, because someone decided, no, I don't really feel like preaching repent and believe, because that's just not where we stand doctrinally. You know, what are they sitting there for? What are they, you know, what salvation or what good news are they being offered?
Yeah, it's an interesting question when you start to think about, you know, deacons and using that. You can think of church discipline and instances of people accusing pastors of preaching things that are wrong, and that could happen where you have a pastor that, or a teacher at a seminary that's teaching something different to their statement of faith, or the opposite, where a believer's hearing something they haven't heard before in the Bible and they think that the pastor's going AWOL and explaining things that aren't biblical, and the elders and the pastor can sit down with them and say, this is our statement of faith and this is what we believe and here it is in the Word of God, and it helps ground everything.
You know? And just jumping on that concept of discipline, which is perhaps a lost concept in the church today. You know, when you discipline a child, I always remember my dad would always say, hey, Jeremy, this is why you're being disciplined. Because I told you not to do this, therefore the consequences are this. The same goes for church discipline. The Bible says this, you have done this, therefore this is the consequence. It's a bit of a shock to the system if you, number one, you didn't even know there was church discipline, or that there were consequences for your actions. And especially, as like I said before, for children, new believers, perhaps people who haven't experienced a church with church discipline, you know, a doctrinal statement that speaks of such things causes people to be prepared and to respond appropriately as well.
Going back to that point you made in Corinthians too, Paul talking to the Corinthian church, he's telling them how God wants them to worship God. It's not how we want to worship God, it's the Bible tells us how God wants to be worshipped. He lists doctrines, you know, woman preaching and things like that, Paul rules out. And so that's what God's view of how the church should act is. And
yeah.
They're hard things to swallow if you're coming from a worldly perspective.
They are.
And I think going on that as well, especially with discipline, it's a reflection of how God manages things. It's not like a man-made thing where we're kind of like, this is the line in the sand that we're about to draw, but rather, you know, yeah, God has said this is the way we would like, or I would like things done, and this is what's going to glorify and honor me most. But that in and of itself is a reflection of God's standard and God's holiness and God's justice. When you know, don't toe that line, and not being legalistic, I think we should love with all of our heart. But at the same time, there is justice for when we decide we don't want to anymore.
Yeah.
And there's the other side of that. So that's, you know, that particular doctrine, I guess, like other doctrines, reflect God's characteristics.
Yeah.
And point us towards those characteristics so that we can learn them more, we can submit ourselves to them, and we can learn to love them, even the difficult ones.
Mm. Yeah.
It helps us in our walk, you know, in our daily walk, we can understand the world and understand it from God's perspective, and it helps to sanctify us so that we can take captive all of our thoughts, and we're all thinkers, everybody thinks, and so understanding doctrines is a way of thinking correctly. It refines our minds, and then we can follow Christ as he wants us to, not as we want to follow.
Quite right.
Mm.
Well, we've talked about the purpose of doctrine, why we have it, that it unifies us, it brings us together and guides us. We've talked about the importance of doctrine, how it's vital for church life, not only eldership and the diaconate. We probably missed out a little bit more in regards to the greater church. But I want to move on to how doctrine results in transformation, how it affects the way we live our life. Can you speak a little bit to that, gentlemen?
I think Deshaun made a really good analogy before about it, like being kind of like bits of doctrine or parts of a catechism or a confessional statement are like ingredients into a recipe or a building block to a building. And so you can understand little pieces, and you can build in your knowledge, and that can transform your life. If, you know, you understand a little bit more of the Bible, and it reflects you think through the way God wants things done, and it'll reflect your actions, you know. Your actions will flow out of those thoughts and
cause us to live a holy life.
Essentially it's all about that.
Yeah. And that's exactly what you were saying before, like the way we're supposed to be, you know, the right thinking is going to lead us to right action.
Mm.
And that's what the transformation is. Our actions are wretched and horrible, and yet when we understand by God's grace and submit ourselves to biblical doctrine, that changes the way we act. So that's the transformation, I suppose, and that's what you were saying before.
Yeah.
And we're lucky that, well, not lucky, God's designed it that it's his grace and his spirit that helps us to understand these doctrines and to live them out.
Because we're not just to be holy according to our own standards. First Peter says, you shall be holy as I am holy. To be holy as he is holy, we need to understand who he is and what he is. So we're actually starting to see God differently through the lens of doctrine and ultimately scripture. Some books that perhaps you can think of in light of this, particularly speaking of the holiness of God, I'm thinking R.C. Sproul.
The Holiness of God.
Great place to start.
Also Jesse Ryle, Knowing God by Packer, some of these real core texts that we're given when we first come to Reformed convictions. But these kind of richly doctrinal books help us understand God in a greater way.
It takes us from maybe a superficial understanding of Jesus, and these doctrines all point to Christ.
Yeah.
So we understand the gospel message more, and you realise how much more you need it. You know, you realise how much more of a sinner you are, and how much more Christ has done for us. It's It's incredible.
I always remember R.C. Sproul talks about Isaiah chapter 6, and this is probably one of my favourite quotes of him. He refers to the holiness of God and speaking of the inanimate objects of the temple. He says, even the inanimate objects had the good sense to be moved in the presence of the king. They shook. And when I heard him say that for the first time, I was like, wow.
Mm.
You know, this is how holy God is. This causes me to worship him in an entirely different way. So the way we understand God through doctrine causes us to live holy lives and worship him in a different way.
Mm.
Well, we're new to the whole family thing. We all got married around about the same time, 2018?
Yeah.
Mm. You're at the beginning and we were in August.
Mm.
And so we're learning to lead our families in a doctrinal lifestyle based on Holy Scripture. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about resources, how other people perhaps who are new to the journey, or even if you're later on in the journey and you're like, I totally need to lead my family now according to Scripture, and I need to make some changes. How do I do that? I've just got a few, and then I'll throw it over to you guys, some resources that people can use. Number one, I really want to encourage people to check out the New City Catechism app.
Mm.
My wife and I are doing that. It's Presbyterian in its style. I think it comes from Redeemer Church with Timothy Keller in New York. But it's really good, and especially good for kids. There's the question and the answer, the scripture references, and also they have a little song, which is about 20 seconds long. My boy last night was shaking his whole body, dancing to this little song. He's 9 months old, but it is never too young to start. I truly believe in that verse. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. If we drill this into our children right at an early age, they're not going to leave, are they? That's what the Bible tells us. Also sticking with the kids' fight, RefTunes. Dushan, I think you've heard of these guys before.
Yep.
There's a gentleman in the States. He's on Instagram. Check it out. Ref for Reformation, R-E-F. Tunes, like cartoons. He has all these different cartoons on his Instagram page. Some are just quotes from Puritans and various theologians. They're amazing. And then he's also done a series. I don't think he's completed the whole lot, but he's taken the Baptist Confession and he's written all the questions and answers with relatable cartoons around. And it's just great for kids to have that visual when understanding their... also, there's a Reformed app. It's just simply called that, Reformed app. And it has various confessions and creedal statements. And I think it has the Baptist Catechism on there as well. It's free, and it's worth checking out.
Nice.
Shani, do you want to...
Yeah, so I mean, if you're further on, I suppose, and you're, you know, learning more about doctrine and seeking after God, you know, Wayne Grudem's systematic theology is great. It's heady. So if you are new to it, hey, look, if the Lord is drawing you and you want to get your, you know, get a full breadth of what you know, or at least try to get a full breadth of all God's characters and the distillation of that from the Bible, yeah, that's a fantastic book. I was just thinking about a website that I've gone to many times. You've got gotquestions.org. That's, you know, I quite enjoy that website. And there was another one that I've just lost, actually. Definitely those two are some, you know, tangible resources that some could, and you know, they're biblical as well. So
just jumping on the systematic theology that you referenced of Wayne Grudem, John MacArthur's also done something fairly similar to that. It's biblical doctrine, I understand. A little different. Nathan and I would disagree on a few things, but still a very sound biblical.
Yeah, it's a go-to text for me to just understand bits.
Yeah,
you know, I'm thinking about prayer or salvation, I can go there and just sink my teeth into big chunks of ideas and biblical thinking.
Yeah, well worth the read. Do you have any what you want to suggest, Nathan?
Yeah, well, you're just mentioning the cartoons, and it just made me think of the Bible Project. And they do fantastic things on YouTube. It's really accessible. You can have a series on books of the Bible, so you can understand the sort of big mega themes through books of the Bible.
Yeah.
But they also have things on different doctrines. So they'll talk about love, or they'll talk about salvation, or the Shema, and hearing the word. And I think they're a fantastic resource. There's some things that I might not agree with, but on the whole, grounded, and it's good teaching. There was one other little resource. The first little book that I studied at seminary was called A Little Book for New Theologians, and it's about and how to study theology. It's by an author called Kelly M. Capick, and it's a really small, short book, and it just looks at theology and doctrine and why that's important, and how from a good understanding of God we can worship him properly, and worship is our whole lives. It's not just our singing at church. It's it's all of our life. So it's a really good little book to, I think it would be targeted as students or younger people that want to learn a little bit about theology and doctrine.
Great. You can also get your hands on paper copies of various confessions, doctrinal statements. They're all over the show, but I would encourage you to head up the Banner of Truth website. I know they have Heidelberg Catechism. I'm going to get my head around that. The 1689, all in printed copies. They're lovely little gift editions as well. And they're reasonably cheap. I think you're looking kind of 10 to 20 bucks to be sent all the way to little old New Zealand where we are. So there's plenty of resources available, and I really want to encourage you, especially if you're a new dad or a mum and you're starting out a family, or you've just got married, start going through these doctrinal statements with your family, and ground yourself in the biblical truth that we are so privileged to read.
Amen. Yeah. Read the Bible verses that go with each thing. Yeah. You know, like you can take it for its word, but when you start to see it in God's word, it just makes it real. You know, it grounds it, and you think you just can't be anything but amazed with how good God is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Well, I just want to say a big thank you to the both of you for joining me here on this podcast.
Thanks for having us, bro.
I think we're probably going to need to do Doctrine 2.0 at some point, because there's so much more to be said, and perhaps we need to Zoom chat you in from America.
Maybe, yeah, that could be fun. Yeah.
We'll see if we can get Al Mohler to join you.
Yeah, I can give it a go. met him last time I was there, so I don't see why I can't just roll up to his office.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, that's a podcast you need to check out. Yeah. Cool. Well, hey, thank you, gents. I'll let you get back to your families and get out of this hot office. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Welcome to Babylon. Please check out our Instagram page. Subscribe for more episodes of Welcome to Babylon.